time to get the story behind the story. Interviews with newsmakers, newsbreakers, and your phone calls. Radio Vermont presents The Mark Johnson Show.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. A beautiful day out there today. Thanks for spending part of it with us. We're going to get right down to business. Joining us here live in our studios this morning, Governor Shumlin. Coming up later this hour, we're going to be chatting with a Norwich professor who is working on an effort to try to turn stormwater actually into drinking water. So we'll find out about that. That would be a bonus. And we would welcome your phone calls on the program as well. You can reach us at 244-1777. That's our local number in central Vermont. You can also reach us on our toll-free lines at 877-291-8255. Governor, thank you for joining us. How are you this morning?
Hey, great to be with you. Thanks for having us on, Mark.
You have talked a lot in this campaign about leadership and how you are providing the leadership that ought to be continuing. I want to ask you about leadership in a couple of different fronts. And in fact, the two areas that you point to, job creation being one, and how the economy's doing and how people generally feel like they're doing out there. I know you brag about Vermont having a low unemployment rate. You and I both know that number's a little bit phony. The median household income here in Vermont has actually gone down. And I would dare say that most people feel like they're kind of treading water at best. Your claims that there have been all these jobs created, according to a Vermont Digger story, a little bit hollow. So where is the leadership on job creation?
Well, let me start by saying I do not agree with you that the jobs numbers are phony. I think they're real, and you can't argue with the facts. So first, just to go to the facts, there's no question that Vermont has one of the lowest unemployment rates in America. There's no question that we have a lower unemployment rate than every New England state around us and a faster growth rate than most of the New England states around us. So we've made some real progress. We've created jobs since I've been governor, thousands of them, and we have a lot of employers in Vermont. This is just the reality. I'm out there talking to business folks every single day who say to me, Governor, we've got jobs. We need more people trained to do those jobs. So the numbers are actually looking good for Vermont. The challenge we have is that, like the rest of the country, many folks in the middle class, working Vermonters, have not felt this recovery. They're just not seeing it in their wages. Much of the benefit of this recovery is going to the folks that were doing well before the recovery. That's true in Vermont, and it's true in the other 49 states. So all the statistics do you no good if you are sitting there trying to figure out how you're going to put oil in the tank for the winter, how you're going to get sneakers on the kids, pay your college debt, or send your kids to college, and all the other challenges that both Vermonters and Americans are facing. Low-income Vermonters and Americans are doing even worse than they were in the recession. So the point is, it's nationally a very disparate recovery. It's a slower recovery than many economists predicted. But to say that Vermont isn't doing well is wrong. We are headed in the right direction. We've got more work to do. And one reason that I'm running for re-election is I'm willing to take on the tough things that will really promote job growth and economic development for Vermont. So I don't think the numbers are phony. We have a very disparate recovery nationally, and Vermont is a part of the nation.
Okay. You claim that there are thousands of new jobs that have been created, but at the same time, hasn't the workforce size actually declined?
Vermont's one of the few states where, from the peak of the recession, from the peak of the economy, we've almost recovered the recovery jobs that we lost. Now, we can bicker about numbers. Every report is different. It depends whether you use the labor statistics or other statistics. The point is, there's no disputing the fact that Vermont has one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country. So the labor pool out there to hire right now is very small. We need more trained workers to get the job done. So I'm not going to argue about the numbers. That doesn't do Vermonters who are still struggling any good. What I am going to do as governor is continue to promote the priorities that will help continue to grow jobs and economic opportunity. We're on the right track. We've got more work to do. What are they? Obviously, taking on the big challenges to income growth is what we must do. What are those? Right now, Vermonters spend 20 cents of every dollar we make on health care. If health care costs grew during this decade at the same rate they did during the last decade, that number doubles. Now, I don't think there's a Vermonter from any political persuasion who raises their hand and says, hey, you know, if healthcare costs double in this decade over last decade, that's a prescription for job growth, economic opportunity, more money in my wallet, when we're already spending 20 cents of every dollar we make on healthcare. So that's why I'm working very hard to make the tough decisions with the Green Mountain Healthcare Board to move our healthcare system from one that reimburses for quantity to one that reimburses for quality. And Mark, that's a discussion that's not going on as it is in Vermont with hospital execs, with nurses, with docs, with our providers, like it is anywhere else in America. That's a conversation we can have in Vermont and make change. On property taxes, that too is resulting in real challenges for Vermonters, and that's what they're frustrated about. Now look at the numbers there. We have lost over 30,000 students in the last couple of decades in our public schools. We right now have more staff, teachers, paras in those schools than we had when we had 30,000 more students. We have not changed much about the administrative delivery system of our education system while educating to fewer students, and all the numbers indicate those are going to continue to drop. So what are we doing? I have my Secretary of Education going out to communities, working with school boards every single week, with local communities, with folks, Vermonters. You know, when you give Vermonters information and data, they're smart. They work with it. They have conversations. They make change. No one's ever done that in state government. So we're out there saying, listen, this is what your costs are right now, and this is what your student count is right now. This is what you're going to look like based on the projections in 5 years, and this is what your property taxes will look like. This is what it'll look like in 10 years. We've got to work together, partner with you, to make sure that you're making the decisions about your destiny that will make this state still affordable and still have good schools.
So you think an educational campaign, writing a letter to your education secretary, having her go out and inform communities about what their expenses are, that's leadership on property tax reform?
Well, I don't think that writing a letter is leadership on property tax reform. What the letter articulates is the challenges that we have ahead where we agree we've got to go and fix them. So, you know, I didn't say, hey, a letter is going to solve all our problems. Action will solve the problems. What the secretary is doing is she's out there, and I'll be going with her later in the year, saying, listen, we're going to give you incentives to help partner with you to get this done. I don't believe that a centralized reorganization system from Montpelier is likely to get it right for many of the communities. What's right for Barton would be wrong for Brattleboro and vice versa. And when you give Vermonters good information, they take it. They have the conversations, they make the tough decisions. I don't think that partnership has ever happened. Now, I've also said, let's augment that with real action. What is that? Let's change our school funding formula for construction aid, or I should say our construction, our capital bill, so that we prioritize capital bill construction money to communities that are actually making those decisions. Because often, you know, if three communities decide we're going to consolidate a school, you've got to make construction changes to that school to make it suitable for the other two communities.
So these are the incentives you're
talking
about?
Those are incentives. Secondly, I've said no mandates from Montpelier that aren't paid for by Montpelier. And third, we passed in the last session some changes to Act 68 that I think are going to help by making it more difficult for folks who are income sensitized or high spending towns to spend without them feeling the effects of that in their property tax bill, regardless of income sensitivity. So we've made some changes. We're making more. This isn't going to be a, you know, flick of the fingers, wow, we can fix this thing. This challenge has plagued Vermont for years and years and years. But I am willing to entertain any ideas, in addition to mine that I've just outlined, that will help us get this right for Vermonters. But property taxes, health care, not sustainable. And then we talk about the other things we're doing. Listen, infrastructure is important. I've balanced four consecutive budgets without raising income taxes, sales taxes, meals and rooms taxes on hardworking Vermonters. I don't very often have a Vermonter come up to me and say, hey, Gov, things are really beautiful. I don't know what to do with all my money. Can you please tax me more? So that's tough, making tough choices to balance budgets. I'm about to do it again.
You think you're going to be able to make that claim 2 years from now if you were to run?
I sure hope so. Secondly, infrastructure. You know, one of the best-kept secrets, we've made choices that matter to grow jobs and economic opportunity. We have just passed the two biggest construction budgets for transportation in the history of the state. When I took over, 34% of our roads were inadequate, so pothole filled, 34% that you couldn't travel on. You wouldn't want to travel on them. We've got that down to 22%, past the biggest paving project. I know it's been an inconvenience to many Vermonters, but we're out there spreading pavement like we've never done before. Bridges, 22% of our bridges were deficient. I mean, how many Vermonters want to travel on a deficient bridge? We've got that down to 12%. We've rebuilt hundreds of bridges. So my point is, we're making real progress. You can't do jobs and fix problems in a week. No one will agree with me with everything that we've done because we're making tough decisions, and that's the joy of being governor, is that every decision you make gets someone mad,
yeah,
but we're making real progress.
CAX had this poll that came out, and I was more interested in the approval-disapproval numbers than the actual the poll numbers, 41% disapproval rating. You can't be happy with that going into the legislature where you need as much momentum as possible.
Well, you know, obviously, as I just mentioned, when governors make decisions, you may get people mad. Let me give you an example. I'm a big supporter of the natural gas pipeline down to Rutland in the western side of the state. I believe that moving from dirty oil to natural gas as a transition fuel is the right thing to do. But mostly, the western side of the state, Rutland, and many other communities along the west side have been transportation challenged. They've got no interstate. They need job growth, and they're struggling. So this will reduce Vermonters' heating bills by moving, being able to move many homes from dirty oil to a cleaner natural gas, and it's going to grow jobs by literally cutting heating costs, I mean energy costs, in half. So when you do that, you obviously get folks who are against natural gas pretty upset. So my point is, regardless of the decisions a governor makes, when you make them, there's always some that you disagree with. That's a good thing. But the more decisions you make, the more people get angry. And I'm a decision maker. You know, I am not going to let, I didn't run for governor because I wanted the state to be in neutral, because I wanted to be a boring governor, because I didn't want to get tough things done to promote economic expansion, job growth, and prosperity. So if you're going to be a governor that goes in and makes tough decisions, folks are going to sometimes disagree with you, and that's the consequence.
Let's talk about this leadership question again, in particular when it comes to health care and the Vermont Health Connect site, which has been, I think, even by your acknowledgement, pretty rocky here. Site currently even shut down. So, you know, one of the reports that came out said that the problem had really been at the state level and a lack of leadership, and really somebody lack of a really having one quarterback kind of run the team on this, and the contractors blaming the state. So how has the Vermont Health Connect experience been a demonstration of your leadership?
Well, let me start by saying I don't think that's what the report said. What the reports have said is everybody is to blame, not one entity is to blame. The contractor is to blame, CGI, the state is to blame, and everyone is to blame. Now listen,
they're very tough on the state.
They're very tough on everyone, and they should be. And they should be toughest on me because I'm governor and ultimately I'm responsible. Having said that, I've expressed many times it's been the greatest disappointment of my governorship. I do believe that what was asked of us in the Affordable Care Act, not just me but the other governors around the country, was probably impossible for technology to do on the timeline that we were given. And that's why other governors have had exactly the same struggles that we've had here in Vermont. So my point is this, it's a website, it's been a disappointment, we will get it right eventually, but I sometimes am concerned that with all the challenge that we've had with it, we're losing the forest through the trees. A website is not healthcare reform, and we sometimes forget that we've got over 160,000 Vermonters who have now got healthcare through the Affordable Care Act. 90% of them are getting a subsidy from this federal government to help them pay for health care that they couldn't afford before. We have more folks in getting coverage. So those are good things. So the website's been a huge disappointment for us. Other governors have had exactly the same challenges. That's not an excuse. It's the facts. We're all to blame. Having said that, the website is not health care. And health care is being delivered to Vermonters per capita. We're taking advantage of the Affordable Care Act better than any other state in the country in terms of actual per capita numbers.
Okay, but let me try this on you. The website, though, is an indication, and it's the connection that Vermonters have to healthcare reform, and it's really been the first opportunity for government to kind of get involved in this. And if they can't get this right, you know what I'm going to ask you. I mean, why would anybody have even a measure of confidence about having the state get a bigger role in this if they can't even get a simple website right?
So let me first say it's not a simple website. This is brought to us by the federal government.
Okay, but you diminished what the importance of the website is.
I didn't diminish what the importance of the website is. I said we should have gotten it right. I wish we could have gotten it right. We didn't get it right, nor did any other state in America except for one. Having said that, My point is this. I never have expressed to you or anyone else that the answer to our healthcare challenges in Vermont or anywhere else in America is the Affordable Care Act. It was passed by Congress, signed by into law by President Obama before I was governor, I might add. And obviously, it does a lot of good things. It helps subsidize folks who are struggling to pay for health care. What it doesn't do is contain cost, and it doesn't take a already too complicated system and make it less complicated. So that's why I feel so strongly that the Affordable Care Act will not be the answer to all of our problems. I've never said that. What I've said is the answer to our problems is to move to a simpler, universal health care system where you have health care because you're a Vermonter, not where you work or how wealthy you might be, that it be paid for not by health care premiums but by ability to pay, and that we move to a system that reimburses instead of for quantity, for quality. And I've been clear about that as long as I've been in public life. So to say, hey, Gov, you know, you got this Affordable Care Act sent to you. You know, you messed up implementing it. Why should anyone trust you? My answer would be because that's not my idea of health care reform. And frankly, every other governor struggled with this too. That's not an excuse. But, and also, it's not a simple website.
But fixing payment reform is harder than fixing a website.
I agree that fixing payment reform is harder than fixing a...
Okay.
Well, not necessarily. And listen, the website challenge, let's understand this. This website is supposed to do, not just ours, but all the other states in America, which is why they're having such trouble with it. This website is supposed to do what has never been done before with technology, either by the private or public sector. Insurance couldn't do this either in the private insurance market, where you go on, it's as simple as buying a book on Amazon, which is kind of a nutty idea. It compares your income, your particular income information. It gets what it needs from the IRS. Then it goes to this, in Vermont's case, to the state income system, figures out what benefits you get there. It all is put together in a very happy package. You push a button and you get it. So any technology person will tell you, in Vermont or the other states that struggle with this, this is tough. It's tough to do. It's not a simple website.
Let's go to Bristol. Fred, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your show. I have a question for the governor, maybe a little bit unrelated to what we were just talking about. But I was I just wondered about the Vermont Express. It's the card that people in low income or like welfare situations have. And just to ask the governor, are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I was in a store in Bristol just recently, small store, just a gas station, and a woman walked in and used the Vermont Express card to pay for two Mountain Dews, a large coffee, a pack of cigarettes, and she got $20 cash back. And I thought that was kind of odd that she was using that card to buy cigarettes, a coffee, get cash back. Can you comment on that and maybe what you might do to change that in the future?
Sure. So I understand the frustration. I think there's probably not a Vermonter who hasn't observed experiences like that. So the Vermont Express card is, you know, what we used to call food stamps back in the old days. And obviously it's taking advantage of technology. It's brought to us almost entirely by federal dollars. And there are federal guidelines about what you can and can't do with those dollars. So we don't have the state discretion, as I understand it, over being able to pick and choose, you know, what you can and can't buy with those cards. So what happens in Vermont with the Vermont Express card happens in the other 49 states. It's federally mandated, and that's my understanding.
Let's go to Waterbury. Chris, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Mark, and as well you, Governor.
How you doing?
I want to back up a little bit to your jobs ratings issue. I'm curious to know, based on the amount of federal monies that's been thrown in the state's lap here recently to try to forward this health care issue, the infrastructure monies that which I do believe that, you know, our infrastructure is in terrible shape. It does need to be worked on. And then also the federal subsidies from the renewable standpoint, the jobs created from that. I'm curious to know what percentage of your jobs rating claim pertains to those federal dollars, and then those, when those federal dollars leave, you know, where does that leave you?
Okay. All right. Thanks for your
call. I got it.
Thanks for your call.
So the federal dollars that came with the Affordable Care Act are obviously having to be used exclusively to carry out the mission of the Affordable Care Act, which means lots of things, including building a website. As you know, these technology investments are expensive. We're right now trying to move the whole human services computer system in Vermont, which is an old 30-year-old legacy system, to a more 21st century system that is integrated. And that's, you know, these things do cost hundreds of millions. The only good news is that once you have them in place, and the federal government is paying for this 100%, they serve you in many functions for many years to come. So, I mean, we're using a system now that's 30 years old. Once we get this one up and running for the state, paid for by the federal government, it should serve us for a long time. But we can't take that money and use it for road and bridge infrastructure or the other challenges that we're facing.
Let's go to Randolph. Mary, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Mark. Good morning, Governor. On the insurance, I, because of my income, whatever, I do have federal subsidy and also state subsidy.
Mm-hmm.
I recently received a letter stating, which I had no idea of, maybe it was perhaps my own ignorance. I tried to read everything I got in the mail. But this letter is stating now that any refund that I might expect in April, federally or from the state of Vermont, will be taken now to, you know, pay for those subsidies. I was not aware of that.
Did your income change?
It has not, no.
It has not. Call either my office or the Vermont Health Connect office, and we can work. We can walk you through that. I'm not sure exactly why you're having that challenge, but what you're saying is nothing's changed in your income. You've made your payments. You've taken your subsidy. And now they're saying that you, I'm trying to figure out whether you're saying that you owe them or that that your situation isn't going to change going forward.
Well, that, yeah, come tax time, if there is a refund, that will...
Oh, that'll be applied to next year's payment?
Oh, correct. Maybe that's it.
I think that's what they're saying.
Okay. I was never aware of that. I didn't know that would be...
Yeah. I mean, I'm just guessing based on what you've told me. But listen, call. Give us a call, and we'll get to the bottom of it.
Very good. Thank you.
Let's go to Northfield. Scott, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Governor, and morning, Mark. I'd like to back you up, Mark, and regarding the job situation in the state of Vermont. There's so many that are unreported or not even looking for work anymore because even when you work, you're not making enough to pay your bills. So my real reason for calling, Governor, was that I think that the state of Vermont should focus more on the trades initially. Mm-hmm. From the last year of high school on for a two-year trade background. And then if the people choose to pursue college, it's incumbent on them at that point. And I appreciate you taking my call.
Hey, I totally agree with you on that one. And it's something we're really focused on and one reason I have a lot of hope for Vermont's future. We have a situation in Vermont, no different than the other states, where, first of all, people's wages aren't high enough. That's why I felt so strongly about raising a minimum wage, so that people who work 40 hours a week, you know, don't have to live in poverty. But most importantly, we have wage stagnation, and this is a national problem. You know, the folks at the who were doing well before the recession, top 1%, 2%, whatever, continue to do well. And a lot of other folks in America are not. And that's terrible for our country going forward. It's terrible for Vermont. It's not going to, that isn't what builds a robust middle class. So training for jobs beyond high school is absolutely critical. And that's what the employers are telling me. You know, we do have good paying jobs in Vermont. The problem is our employers are having trouble finding folks who are trained to do those jobs. And here's an example. You know, when I graduated from high school, long enough ago in Vermont, you can make a good living just with a high school degree. Many folks could. I would say that today you're pretty well in trouble if you only have a, you're pretty well sentenced yourself to a low-wage job if all you have is a high school degree. So go to Vermont Tech for a year or 2 years, or go to one of our tech centers and get additional training. And the difference is, you know, down at GE, as an example in Rutland, you know, if you have some training to run a $1 million or $2 million computerized piece of manufacturing equipment, and they're hiring there, it's a difference between $9, $10 an hour, and, you know, $25, $30 an hour with benefits. So we've got to move more folks into the trades. We have a shortage of electricians. We've got a shortage of plumbers. If you look at our current crew of trades folks, they look like me. They're getting older and grayer in terms of demographics, and you can make good money in those fields. So our job, we've been trying to do everything possible. The labor sector is coming in here today, but we've got great internships now where you can literally work a job, have an internship, go to school at night through VTC's program, and become a licensed electrician or plumber, as an example. So those are the programs we've been building. I think they'll serve us well going forward, but we've got to get more Vermont students going beyond high school. And that's one reason that I've made it possible now in this state, if you play your cards right, to get 2 free years of college in this state.
Speaking of older populations, I was thinking to myself, you've been talking about this healthcare financing and saying it's in all likelihood going to be based on an ability to pay. You say you're not going to try to take over the Medicare system. So if somebody's older living in this state who's getting Medicare today, why would they be in any way interested in paying something out of their income taxes? Are you going to hold this population harmless? Do you see the problem?
Yeah, we are dividing. We're trying to devise a healthcare financing system that doesn't require anyone to pay who isn't getting any benefit. So the answer would be yes. If they got no benefit, they wouldn't pay. We're still trying to design that. Having said that,
that's a lot of people that you're taking out of the equation.
Well, they're being taken care of right now. I mean, don't forget, Medicare folks and Medicaid folks, particularly Medicare folks, they're in the single-payer healthcare system that works for them. We have no desire to change that. What we would do, our hope is, to have everyone in Vermont given a Green Mountain healthcare card so that if their Medicare didn't cover a service, which often happens now, which is why they have to buy supplemental coverage, they'd have a Green Mountain healthcare card to cover anything that wasn't covered by Medicare.
Okay. If the healthcare website is not fixed by November, is doing this by paper going to be acceptable to you?
Well, one thing I've learned about these websites is always have a backup plan. I mean, I learned that the hard way, but always have a backup plan. And, you know, with all the criticism that we've had of the website, justifiably so, we've always found a workaround to make it work. I mean, no Vermonter has had their coverage taken away or has had, you know, interrupted coverage because of the challenge we've had with a piece of technology. So we will always have a workaround plan no matter what we do, but I believe that the website will be up and functioning in time for open enrollment, which is what we're working. So that's why we took it down, so that we could get the work done both in terms of functionality and in terms of the security concerns that we had.
Right. Help me, last question, I know you got to go. So help me understand why the problems with the website that you're having are not somehow indicative of what the future handling of healthcare might be by state government.
Because the challenge at the website, I believe, are a result of asking technology to do more than it was ready to do, not just in Vermont, but the rest of the country, and federal websites had the same challenges, and a timeline that was unrealistic. Third, it takes a complicated healthcare system and makes it more complicated. It basically says, let's take the model of private insurance and try and make it more competitive and save money that way. And that hasn't worked. It hasn't worked for 30 or 40 years. The notion that healthcare is like the free market and the more competition you have in there, the better off everybody's going to be, just hasn't proven to be true, which is why Governor Snelling got rid, you know, brought forth community rating when insurance companies were coming in, cherry-picking the young and the healthy, ripping off the sick and the folks who really needed health care. And, you know, the free market system, acknowledged by both Republican and Democratic governors in Vermont, hasn't worked. So what the Affordable Care Act said is, let's make it work on steroids through a website. And frankly, I think that inevitably that's a flawed policy. I think that both Senator Leahy, Senator Sanders, and Congressman Welch agreed. That's why they wished to have a public option, as in Medicare, and they didn't do it. So, you know, the website does a lot of, the Affordable Care Act does a lot of good things for Vermont. It's helping subsidize 90% of over 160,000 Vermonters. We're taking down federal money in a problem that we were having trouble paying for. But I keep saying, if healthcare costs grow in this decade at the rate that they did in the last, we're all skunked. We're not going to grow jobs. We're not going to have more income in our pockets. The gentleman just called that says jobs aren't paying enough in Vermont. That will continue because it's gobbling up too much of our expendable income. So what I find so frustrating about this campaign is I've got an opponent who says, just leave things the way they are and everything will be fine. And I'm not going to tell you what my plan is. And I'm saying, you know, that's irresponsible. If you're a governor, you got to make decisions. You got to lead. You have to have convictions and carry them out.
Okay, but
you can't just say, well, I'm just going to listen to folks and we'll see what happens.
Right, but if that's the case, why didn't you roll out a financing plan before the election? I mean, you're all of a sudden going to be able to pop one out.
No, I want to answer that. I've heard that many times, and I've explained many times. Being the first state that moves to a publicly financed system is complicated. It's hard. We've got to get it right, and we're not there yet. We're obviously coming up with a number of models and then having, as the law requires and should, economists drill down into it to figure out whether it really grows jobs, economic opportunity, whether it makes Vermont a better place economically. You know, I'm not going to do anything. As a person who was born and raised in the state, raised my daughters here, built two successful businesses here, and ran for governor because I want more people to have the kind of opportunity that I've had, I'm not going to do anything in healthcare that would hurt job growth, hurt the middle, hurt working Vermonters, hurt our economy, or hurt the state of Vermont. I just won't do it. So we've got to take a very complicated proposition, moving the entire state from healthcare premiums to a fair way of paying for healthcare, and make sure that it's going to do good, not harm. If it will do harm, we won't do it. If it does good, we will. I believe it will do good.
Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Governor Peter Shumlin, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Looking to buy a car, motorcycle, or boat? Maybe.